13 minutes to seven. It's a big week for Scotland's First Minister, Alex Salmond. He's in London tomorrow to set out his vision for how Scotland would maintain a relationship with the rest of the UK if it became independent. And then on Thursday, he's publishing a consultation document about the whole process of having a referendum on Scotland's future. So all this week on Drive, Five Lives political reporter Chris Mason is exploring five big questions about Scottish independence. As we've been already hearing tonight, he's in Guernsey. Chris, wrong end of the country by the sounds of it. What are you doing there?
Yeah, looking at these five big questions, Rachel, over the next couple of days, we'll be in Corby in Northamptonshire tomorrow, looking at a part of England where there is a lot of Scottish people. But we're starting by looking at the middle road option, if you like, that may be open to the Scottish people in a referendum. It's known rather clunkily as Devo Max, some process that would take Scotland much closer to independence, but actually would retain a connection with the UK. And that's why we decided to start this road trip here in Guernsey, Channel Island, far closer to France than it is to the UK. Effectively, a country in miniature. It runs itself safe for defence and foreign affairs. It retains the pound sterling. It retains the Queen as the head of state. And there's a constitutional connection to the British Crown. So formally, laws from here bounce to the Ministry of Justice and what's known as the Privy Council senior MPs at Westminster to get signed off. So there is still that umbilical cord of a connection. But broadly speaking, day-to-day affairs are all handled here. So Geoffrey Rowland is both the presiding officer in Guernsey's Parliament and the Chief Justice. We'll have a listen to him here. He's known locally as the Bailiff.
Her Majesty's government is responsible for our defence. That doesn't mean quite so much nowadays as it did once upon a time with the umbrella of NATO and EU nations getting on together. They're also responsible for our international relations.
And that, to an outsider and in broad terms, sounds remarkably similar to what some are suggesting Scotland might head in the direction of, something that is, I guess, devolution max. There is still that umbilical cord, but you do a lot locally.
Yes, indeed. We do a tremendous amount locally. I wouldn't imagine we would be a neat fit, but I can understand why they want to explore the relationship.
And explore the relationship, Rachel, they are, I'm told. A number of senior officials here have told me privately today that members of the Scottish Government and others within the Scottish National Party have expressed a real interest in how Guernsey manages its relationship with London, even though there are obvious very big differences between Guernsey and Scotland, not least size and population. Let's have a chat with Sinjin Robilliard. I hope I've pronounced your name right there, sir. He's an advocate here, a senior lawyer, a barrister and a solicitor, keen watcher of the constitutional relationship between Guernsey and London. How do you characterise that relationship? Is the umbilical cord analogy overdoing it or underdoing it?
I prefer to say that there's a very strong gravitational pull. Mm-hmm. We are a very small moon that goes around a large planet. And that is seen, for example, that because we have British passports, the passports are slightly different, but they are still British passports. We are represented by the United Kingdom government, and equally the United Kingdom government makes quite clear that there are minimum standards of Britishness that they expect our authorities and our parliament to abide by.
Could you imagine Scotland taking a look at the situation here, as I say, on a very different scale, and thinking, yeah, maybe there is something here, particularly if they were tempted by an option one short of independence?
I think where they would be interested, of course, is the different economic development that we have. We have lower tax rates, mm-hmm. And that is very important in the way that our economy has developed, particularly over the past 35 years. Our headline income tax rate is 20%. We don't have such things as capital gains tax or inheritance tax, and that has created a favourable environment for many financial institutions to do a myriad of activities. And that has produced, in turn, a very high GNP, mm-hmm. Which I think would interest anybody. I think in the Republic of Ireland, we have seen similar things with their corporate tax rate.
Is there a sense, though, that this idea of Devo Max, horrible phrase that's thrown around at the moment, could only be some sort of temporary arrangement? It would be a stepping stone along the road to independence. Yes, I guess in Guernsey's case, it's been the reality since, what, 1204, so it's far from temporary. But are there those here who are tempted, would you be tempted for Guernsey to think, you know what, we'll go the whole way, we don't need that connection with Britain anymore?
there was a big meeting here about 2.5 years ago where about 500 people turned up. But I think currently it is unlikely to see any developments that way in the short term.
St John, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for your explanations today and the intricacies of the constitutional relationship between Guernsey and the UK, which have taken some getting my head around, my small head around a very complicated constitutional relationship. More, as I say, tomorrow, Rachel, where we'll be heading to Corby in Northamptonshire.
OK, Chris, thank you very much indeed.